Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daniela Bellotta. Civil rights groups suing the state of North Carolina just hours after the governor signs a bill requiring voters to show ID. North Carolina NAACP President Reverend William Barber.
This bill is not about voter ID. It is 57 pages of regressive, unconstitutional act to rig and manipulate the election.
Controversial bill signed into law last night. American Airlines U.S. Air merger seems turbulent. The federal government is stepping in with legal action to stop the American Airlines merger with U.S. Air and Thor up from the state, including Texas, which is home base for American. The antitrust lawsuit complains the merger would eliminate competition in local markets and allow the new company to raise ticket prices and fees, Thompson, the mother of the man who plunged to his death at Tennessee, says he was a lifelong racist fan. Paul Rainey called for higher railings, and she's not sure yet explains why.
It's the first time in the last 5 years that a fan has fallen from the stands in Atlanta. A 20-year-old was killed last August after falling over a railing in the Georgia Dome, landing on a man with a lower deck. Alcohol was deemed a factor in that fall, and in 2008, man died.
Turner
Field
left
behind
home plate. Massive control of the Disney World in Florida finds itself in the Florida state of Houston. The tsunami is there.
Things will be common in Florida because much of the state sits on limestone. The water below each of the stone, and then heavy rains push into it.
Yeah, the Tsunami Bay Resort collapsed into 100-foot hole. And more flooding today is expected in 15 states from Oklahoma to Connecticut.
Labradors, Goldens are the main breeds that come through our door, but we'll train anything with four legs and a tail. My husband and I own a kennel. We train hunting dogs and also have a boarding grooming system. Our dogs, they're athletes. They need a very quality food. And you can't get enzymes in a commercial dog because they cook it at such a high heat that so much important nutrition just comes right out of it. But adding dynamite to their diet has every single dog in my kennel looking better. They have been fluffy.
Bob Medicare, Bob, Bob, Bob. You find lots of useful tips
law. Two resources to help law enforcement track down on criminals and return taxpayer dollars to the Medicare Trust Fund. And how you can get involved in the fight against fraud. StopMedicareFraud.gov and help make Medicare stronger for all of us. A message from Medicare and the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
You're listening to the new home for the Tom Hannity Radio Show, News Talk 600 WSLO.
He's creating an image. If we just had more taxes, we just had more government, more programs, more departments, more agencies, we just had more, paradise would be here.
Weekdays from 6 to 9 p.m. on News Talk 600 WSOM. Welcome to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends, the local talk show that stimulates your mind and keeps you thinking about things going on in your world. From local issues to topics of global importance, Tracy and Friends keeps you informed and keeps the conversation going. Call to talk to Tracy and Friends at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at TracyandFriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Good afternoon, everybody. Here under the sound of my voice, I say to you, hello. You're listening to Tracy and Friends on WSOM 600 AM on your radio dial, on WSOM 600 AM on your iHeart radio dial, and also on Blog Talk Radio at TracyandFriends.com. We're here to talk about what's on our mind and talk to you about what's on your mind, and we want to make you think. We don't need to do anything else but make you think. And I hope that I can accomplish that today, as there's much going on that should make you think. Now, I live in an area that Democrats are so, how should I say, they're so in charge that there's more Democrats here in the Youngstown, Ohio Avenue per capita in Mahoning Valley than any other place in the United States of America. And for good reason. Real good reason. This is the heart of steel country. The steel country that kept us alive during World War II. Actually, World War I and World War II. All of this valley from up our way on the Mahoning River down to the Ohio and Allegheny Rivers over in Pittsburgh and down into West Virginia. We made the steel that created the war machines of yesterday. And the unions had a great bit to do with that time and the development of it. And so that's what we're dealing with. You're dealing with those that that have organized labor, and in many cases what they did was absolutely needed. It was absolutely correct to do. And it was good that they were there at the time that they were there. Now, here's the only drawback to that. When they unionized labor in the steel mills, they then were able to get into unionizing public workers, school workers, et cetera, et cetera. And guess what? when a union has control of a steel mill, they can see that things aren't going so great. And they may take a temporary reduction in a pay. But usually in the public sector, for some reason, they don't adhere to that. Not too much. Now, I worked public job for 30 years, a little over 30 years. Okay? I worked a public job for 30 years. I understand. We did take concessions one time that I remember. Maybe two times, because we don't take it necessarily in pay cuts, but we don't get our pay increases that might have been part of the contract, because you have a downturn in how much other people's money that the state can collect or the city or the county can collect to pay salaries. So what you end up doing is, if you're caught in the middle of one of those contracts and you have a downturn in your economy, guess what? You don't get to not pay people still. It's very hard to lay people off. It's very hard to get that done. So, the unions absolutely for many, many years had an upper hand. Now, here's the flip side to their good work that they did, because they did allow a lot of people, uneducated people, to make a whole lot of money. And I say once again, rightfully so. I don't begrudge the UAW workers. They work hard. Now, I don't agree that every last one of them works hard, because that's not true, and we know it. I don't understand making $100,000 a year sweeping a floor. Now, I may be totally wrong, because I've never worked inside a plant like that. So I don't know. It could be absolutely key and worth it for somebody to get paid $100,000 to sweep the floor and to keep debris out of the floor. That may be. I understand for skilled trades. But when you even out pays for everybody and don't differentiate by what they produce, you're going to kill your business. You're going to kill your, well, let's just say, you're going to kill the product that you're producing. And unfortunately, when it comes to public unions, that means you're going to kill your actual city, county, state. You're going to kill them. So now, we have pros and cons of unions. They built up the middle class. They caused people that did not get formal educations to be able to live very comfortably and very well in America, which is the American dream. Don't begrudge them that. I do not begrudge them, and I don't blame them for that. But when you have a school system and your product are kids, then I have a problem, because we cannot sell kids. We can't raise the price on kids and get more money to produce the kids. All you can do is become very much a problem with the kids, because you're not teaching them now. They're not being taught, so they're not getting a good basic education. They can't read by the time they get out of school. And guess what you have? Chaos. You have chaos in your streets and your poor neighborhoods. You have chaos in the streets and your middle-class neighborhoods. And you cannot stop it because you didn't treat people a certain way properly. Number two, you didn't move and find another way to fund schools so the teachers really got paid what they're worth. And the ones that don't produce should be able to be gotten rid of, but you can't do that because the unions won't let you. You play hell trying to get rid of a bad teacher because, of course, to the union, anybody that's paying the dues is a good person. Well, that's my part of my rant for the day, and I'm going to bring up a local caller. Local caller, you're on air.
Good afternoon, Jeff. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Very good, thank you. This is Dee. I appreciate you so much. I appreciate this opportunity. It's a nice give and take. And I think that, there isn't animosity. It's just sharing, and we learn from one another.
Right.
I have a background in counseling, and what we were always told was that the victim becomes the victimizer in cases of abuse, neglect. And if you think about that, that's really profound, is that when you are treated badly, then you learn that. And if given the right circumstance, you then in turn can become a victimizer. And I think that we have to be on guard everywhere in society because I think with the unions, they saw greed and corruption in the management and ownership of schools or businesses, whatever, and they thought, well, we'll right this, injustice. But then when they sensed the power within them as a union, they then in turn became corrupt. And so it's that, how would we want to say, it's like the continuation of that kind of abuse.
Oh, yeah.
And it's unfortunate. It's truly unfortunate. I mean, it really takes strong people who will be able to say, I'll deny myself and do what is right. And I think we're losing sight more and more of what is right. You know, we're doing the thing that's convenient, or we're doing the thing that, nets a profit for us, or, a perk for us. We've become so self-centered and I hate to say, but, greed lies at the greed, a lust for, money and for power and for fame. It's pervasive on every level. Even the most humble of people, if they have an opportunity, desire that. Look at these reality shows that are on TV and what people are willing to sacrifice to have their to have that attention or a chance for wealth or notoriety. I'm just heartsick many times. If I didn't have a good foundation in the Lord Jesus Christ, I'd be in trouble because really the news sometimes can just sicken you. I was listening about the presidential dog getting this special treatment, and it broke my heart because I thought there are people who are deserving of consideration, and here's this dog that's being treated way beyond, the scope of what is reasonable. To have that the family couldn't wait for whatever it was, whether it was a grooming appointment, a doctor appointment, whatever, that they couldn't wait to take the dog with them and that he was flown to vacation with them. Just, I'm appalled day by day, Jeff.
Yeah, well, you should be, but this is the thing. People have been lulled to sleep by lies. And I'm going to bring up one of those lies a little bit later, one that Al Franken told. And you know, he was so foolish in what he said, but it doesn't matter that he was foolish, because you have people in universities teaching lies. They teach you things that are not true. Okay, why? Because it fits their ideological vent.
Well, you know, when they talk about an inconvenient truth, what
yeah.
it is a convenient lie. You know, you have to twist that yeah. around.
Right? So, it is that. And,
yes.
and the inconvenient truth was an inconvenient lie.
A convenient lie
for Al Gore.
Exactly.
Because he made money on that piece
yes.
of whatever it was that was a film.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was able to buy into the carbon trading companies over in Europe and make $1 billion out of there, and then built a house right on the ocean. How foolish are we? I haven't had one liberal call me up and challenge me on that one yet. And I please do. I really want you to, because I want to understand why you think this is a good thing.
Well, you know, the other issue that over the last few days has been, you know, upsetting to me was the president's remarks about the Olympics in Russia and how he was.
Can you hold on through my break?
Sure.
Because I really want to go over those remarks, because that I was spitting nails after I heard that, and people don't realize why.
Yeah.
You know, they think I'm crazy because I think the president has lost his mind. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. Afternoon with Tracy and Friends. We'll be right back with your call.
Howdy, howdy. I'm so excited. Charlie Savers Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Savers Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can put back the thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Savers Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Savers Barbecue Sauce, the full cup of love.
Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a cup of love.
If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
Do you depend on your computer? Then you know that a virus on your computer is bad news. But there is something you can do. Just call this number, 330-759-9700. That's 330-759-9700. That's the number for Ambassador Technologies in Liberty Township. Ambassador Technologies specializes in virus removal and restores your computer to full performance. We also specialize in computer repair, from desktops, laptops, laptop screens, laptop power supplies, laptop batteries, and hardware updates. And when your business needs networking, Ambassador Technologies is the place to go. Ambassador Technologies, Youngstown's best for computer repair, networking, website development, and even low-cost business cards and publishing. Call Ambassador Technologies at 330-759-9700. Online at ambastech.com. That's ambastech.com.
Everyone faces challenges in their lives. Handling it on our own sometimes is too overwhelming, but Turning Point Counseling can help. Turning Point offers the highest quality, individualized, confidential behavioral health care. Our professional and caring staff can help you or your loved one get started on the road to recovery today. Turning Point Counseling, because behavioral health care is health care. Don't wait. Visit our website for more information or call today for care. Everybody faces challenges in their lives. Sometimes these challenges can be too much to handle on our own. That's where Turning Point Counseling can help for depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts, drug and alcohol abuse and addiction, personality disorders, crisis intervention, and more. Turning Point also provides residential services in our crisis stabilization unit for those who need inpatient care. Turning Point Counseling Services, helping you on the road to recovery.
Your car will look brand new after a professional cleaning at Kingly Hand Wash and Wax. All work is done by hand, which protects the paint, leaves no water spots. You won't believe how good it looks. Walk-ins are always welcome, or book an appointment for a full detailing. Thursday is Ladies' Day. Get an additional service free with any regular wash. Kingly offers pickup and drop-off service. They'll take you to work, an appointment, and pick you up when your car is ready. If it's not Kingly, it's not clean. Kingly Hand Wash and Wax, 309 West Midlothian Boulevard.
Listen to News Talk 600 Saturdays at noon for On Earth as It Is in Heaven and Father Andrew, pastor of St. Michael's Orthodox Church. Saturdays at noon on News Talk 600.
At Columbiana Ford, we service cars and trucks from all over, from Akron to East Liverpool, Pennsylvania, clear up to the lake. They bring them in because we get the car fixed right the first time. All makes and models. Bring to Columbiana Ford or give us a call at 1-800-903-6737 and get your car in and get it repaired at a reasonable rate. At Columbiana Ford, we make driving affordable.
When you want your morning cup of coffee to come with the latest local and national news, tune to News Talk 600 WFOM every weekday from 6 to 9 a.m. The latest news when you need it. And Youngstown's best talk, News Talk 600 WFOM.
We're back with Tracy and friends on News Talk 600 WSOM. 347-945-5229. Or toll-free 1-800-530-WSOM. Online at TracyAndFriends.com or 600WSOM.com. Now, here's Tracy.
And we're back once again here on Afternoons with Tracy and Friends. We say hey to everybody across the fruited plains and across the mountains of the West and the Midwest and all the people that listen to Tracy and Friends. We get a lot of people to call us off the air as well as on the air, and they let us know, man, you listen to you every day. We remember when this happened, and, you know, it's really fun to hear that, but it's more than that. It's also that you have been able to affect people and let them hear what you kind of think and believe and what others think and believe. That's why I would hope that I'd get, more of my liberal callers out there to call and challenge. I would love to have a real challenge and a real dialogue with those that think like liberals. But anyway, Dee, I'm going to let you go ahead and get down and tell us what you thought when you heard the president go crazy after Putin smacked him in his face the other day.
I would not have believed it had I not watched. I watched foreign news, and I saw on the French news clips of the president, and what he said was that he was, just very disappointed with President Putin and his human rights violations, and that he was promoting anti-gay legislation. In June, they had signed legislation that anyone who tries to indoctrinate or influence an 18-year-old or younger into homosexual behavior commits a crime. And they affirmed marriage as between a man and a woman.
Right.
And our president said that someone said, will we boycott the Olympics because of your displeasure with this Russian, stance. And he said, no, our athletes have trained, and he says they wouldn't deny them, you know, that opportunity.
Right, right, right.
But this was it. This was the pièce de résistance. I saw him right from his lips say that he hoped that our gay athletes would bring home the gold to show people their value, their worth, and that we could learn something from them. And I thought, why would you single out gay athletes when everyone trains so hard for those athletic competitions? And why are we always making this issue prominent in every discussion? And I thought to myself, we're all sinners, and it's sinful behavior to go against, the teachings of God. And, we've talked different times, if you're a person of faith, you can't deny the word of God.
Yeah, but you are not allowed to practice that at the Olympics, of course. You say you're a Christian, and you might get kicked off the team if the president had his way.
Well, that's it. What are the Olympics about? They're about athletic skill. It's supposed to be good sportsmanship. It's supposed to be all those things. But I think every wonderful event for men and women to come together and show, you know, the capacity of a human being to, you know, to strive for their best.
Mm-hmm.
All of that's becoming second place to this, you know, gay rights issue.
Oh yeah. Everything like that is you know, means nothing. Striving to be that? No, it's what you are, what you claim to be. Oh, I'm so proud of you, son. You came out and you played basketball and you said that you're gay. That's very brave. But the people in Benghazi didn't get a doggone thing. In fact, our ambassador didn't even get a state funeral. So you know, don't tell me anything about this. This is the worst bastardization of America that I've ever seen in my 50 years of living. Okay.
Well, you know, I hardly watch, you know, the television programs that are, you know, so popular with, you know, like the worldly influence. But that America's Got Talent.
Mm-hmm.
There are some beautiful, beautiful, talented singers. But what they do before they sing is they give like a little snapshot of their life. And two of them now have portrayed that they are gay and
right.
been, you know, hurt and rejected by their families, and they pray that there's, you know, a coming together over, you know, their success now.
Sure, sure.
And I thought, you know, I would have voted for them based on their beautiful talent. The fact that they, you know, have, gay issues or desires, you know, whatever, that didn't even need to come into the discussion. It was their singing talent. They were beautiful, beautiful,
sure.
you know, talented people. And, you know, it's not that I hate gay people. I do not. You know, I love them and I
absolutely.
Pray that they come to you know, repentance.
The saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, one way, however they do it.
That's how I
right,
feel.
Right, right.
And I think, like I say, you know, for a heterosexual to be sexually involved outside of marriage is the same kind of a sin and grievance to God. For everything that we do, you know, somebody who shoplifts, you know, God doesn't look at these things and say, oh, you know, that was a little thing. You know, like how we talk about white lies.
Yeah, yeah.
There's no white sins or white lies.
Yeah.
These are all things that grieve the heart of God.
You're absolutely correct.
But when you do it with boldness, then you really have scornfully, you know, like raised your hand to God and said, you know, I throw this in your face. And that, you know, it, like I said, I've been heartsick so much. You know, I look at the things that are happening in our country, and I just cannot believe it. And, you know, I think I don't have any, you know, grandchildren, but I think what will the precious little ones in the future how will they be protected? How will they be taught? You know, what will, and I think you're going to have to really have strong parents to counteract the like this ocean wave of
sure.
Of wrong teaching and.
Well, I mean, you know, you're absolutely correct, and go ahead, don't you don't have to get it all out at one time. We're going to go to 330-205 and see what they have to say as well. Because there's so much stuff going on out here and so much craziness going on. And then South Carolina, I see you up there. I don't know whether that's South Carolina or Not So Blind Mike, but 330-205, you just hold on. You good.
Hey, okay. Hey, Jeffrey.
Hey, what's up, Sticks?
Well, hey, I know exactly what the president did with that remark. He was equating the gay thing with Russia right back to Jesse Owens and the Nazis. That's exactly
oh, yes.
what he was doing, if you understand your history.
That
yep. was right out. I mean, that was exactly what that was. And I hope that people understand what he just did.
You know, I would say this. I had a guy on Facebook, and he listens to the show. He said he thought the president was going to come out when he started talking about that.
Well, those rumors are running around, you know.
Well, yeah, and then he said, and could you see it? You know, separate vacations from his wife, and then, you know, he would have a crush on Tiger Woods as much as he plays golf.
Yeah.
That was crazy. That was crazy, man. This is ridiculous.
I just want to know why Bo the Dog gets his own airplane. What's that, Air Force 3?
Oh, no, he doesn't. Please tell me that's not true.
Yeah, he got his very own airplane to fly him. They used an Osprey to fly him up there to
Martha's Vineyard.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Man, you know what?
We got Air Force 1 for the president, Air Force 2 for Biden, and Air Force 3 for Bo the Dog.
I don't want to disturb the workplace over here. You know how that is, right, Sticks? Because you got the two beautiful young ladies outside the door. They're trying to work, and I just about disturbed their whole day just now. Don't go nowhere, Sticks. 843, you're in the air, South Carolina.
So let me get this straight. The president just came out and said what?
Which part? Go ahead, D. Tell him what he said. And Matt, you're going to be up too.
He said that he hoped our gay athletes would take the gold so that they could show their value, their worth, and that we would learn something from them.
No.
You can fuck.
Oh boy.
You know, I heard it, and I didn't want it to come out of my mouth. I wanted her to go ahead and say it again, because when I heard it, I was ready to chew and spit out nails. I could have done a whole roof with how I was feeling about that one. And, you know, it really ticked me off that here it is, something, some sexual act that you do makes you better than other people, and we can learn from you. Like, this is a gifting that they have and not a tormenting mind condition that they deal with daily in their lives. Because I don't see any happy people that are like this. I see some people that are content with some things, yes. But happy people, everybody that I know that's like that, is absolutely conflicted. Now, I may be wrong, and D, you worked in counseling. I did Christian counseling, so I understand where you are, you know, the whole 700 Club and everything. My family was 700 Club counselors for years. So you're right, that's what they teach you, the truth, because victims usually will victimize.
Yes.
Unless you are able to interdict them somewhere before they start. And once you get a child abuser of some sort, then that is one of the hardest of the ones to stop.
Yes. Well, you know, there are many who pedophiles who will say, "Don't release me. I know that I'm
going to do it again."
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Right.
And that's something.
Mm-hmm.
Matt, go ahead, kick in.
Who made those comments about gays in the Olympics?
The
president did.
Hey, Matt.
Okay. Well, you know, I'd like to come to the president.
The village people did it, man.
I'd like to come to. I heard you mention the name of Al Franken earlier too, and I'd like to come to both. I'd like to come to both the president's and Al Franken's defense, if I could for a moment, by just saying that. They're not liars. They're complete and utter imbeciles. Okay? So I don't see how people could attack them and be serious about it because they're nuts.
Could you
enlighten me? Because I don't know what Al Franken said.
Well, he said so many things, but I'm gonna have to wait for that because we have about 2 minutes before we go to break.
Okay.
And I'm going to start out the top of the hour with what Franken said because it has to do with civil rights and the Civil Rights Act and all this other stuff.
Do you think you could find what the president said as well?
Oh, yeah, let me look it up. When I go to the top of our news break, I will get that.
Thank you.
That statement and let everybody hear it for themselves.
Well, that's it, because, you know, sometimes people don't believe unless they hear it themselves.
Yeah. South, were you going to say anything else, or did you pass out on the floor?
I'm just in disbelief. I understand exactly what Stitch is saying. You know, yeah, that was just the same, could be the same type statement. And basically what he's done is he's, I'm going to say it this way, he's equating being black to having a mental condition.
Well, here's the thing. Russia, this is why Russia said what they said. They started losing population, and they contributed it to that people were not having children in Russia. And so they went on a campaign to more or less say, hey, we need to keep ourselves, you know, ourselves around here. We need to have kids, and we need to have more of them. And so they went on this campaign, and they were finding out, well, you know, what you have these people teaching against family because, you know, they're teaching against all this stuff, and then they're going with homosexuality, by which if everybody was homosexual or anywhere near, you would not have a human race left. Mm-hmm. You would not have anything making any sense. Now, I understand that there's people that feel like that, and I don't begrudge them because I think that they are suffering under it. I don't think that they have a happy life about it. Well, see, I done messed around. I'm at my break. So anyway, we got to do the break. I'll be right back after these messages.
Three people, including two cops, with her car. Charlotte Moreland pleaded guilty in court. The incident happened in July of last year. Sentencing has been scheduled for a later date. In Austin Town, the Idaho Road Project is complete after crews worked on it for a year. The former dead-end street is now open to a new traffic signal at New Road. School leaders say the light makes it safer for buses making left turns. A Poland, Ohio business is competing to get a free Super Bowl.
Hey, South, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
What's the nice young lady on the phone? What's her name?
D.
I'm not sure.
D?
D, D-E-E.
Have you called before?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't call real often. I listen.
Yeah.
But I occasionally call. I'm from the local area here.
Oh, okay.
So I don't, you know, I call on the, you know, the regular phone. I'm not on the, I'm not real tech savvy, so I don't know how you all get in on that.
Well, guys, we shouldn't really be surprised about this, the whole, you know, what the president is saying, because this started in the 1800s with different philosophers, and I mean, some of this stuff that, I mean, when you start talking about the moral slide and what's right and wrong, then you have to look at, you know, certain philosophers and certain people. Are you guys familiar with Adrian Rogers?
Yes.
Listen to Adrian. He has a sermon called Ghosts That Hunt Us. And he just goes through all of these different ideologies, where they came from, and I think he talks about postmodernism, and he just gets into the you can't judge type thing. And so, you know, like Martin Luther King, his whole ideology wouldn't fit in today because it's, you can't be judged by the content of your character anymore. You know, it's judged by, you know, you just leave me alone. Don't judge me at all. So, you know, I can judge your acts if I say it's wrong or if the Bible says or if we have a religious belief that something is wrong, we can judge that, but they don't agree with that. So Barack Obama is kind of appealing to that, and I'm not surprised because I quite frankly feel like he's in the closet himself. That's just me, but I'm not laughing. I'm dead serious. I really think he's gay, but that's just my personal. There's a, what do they call it? There's this group of guys in Chicago. I mean, I can bring you information, but people. I got in a big, almost got in a fisticuffs argument with a guy over that, but because he just took it, you know, black people take it, and you know, it's almost like you're talking about their mother or something when you talk about it. But there are people that, you know, like his choir director that got killed, what do they call it, execution style, nobody is unsolved in Chicago.
Yes.
But he was supposedly in a gay relationship with Barack Obama. I mean, you know, it is what it is.
I, you know, and nothing, you know, that I heard that was substantiated, but it was heard that...
I'm Diane Caridou. I'm a senior Medicare Patrol volunteer. Our program, sponsored by Medicare and the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, helps seniors learn to protect themselves from Medicare frauds and scams. For instance, if you're a Medicare beneficiary and you're approached with an offer of free medical equipment or services, watch out. If it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. Call 1-800-MEDICARE to report it. And go to StopMedicareFraud.gov to find lots of useful tips and important information about new fraud-fighting tools that Medicare now has, thanks to the health care law. New resources to help law enforcement crack down on criminals and return taxpayer dollars to the Medicare. How you can get involved in the fight against fraud. Go to StopMedicareFraud.gov, a message from Medicare and the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
1-800-530-WSOM or 347-945-50. Now to talk to Tracy and Friends on Newstalk 600 WSOM.
The Tonight Show.
I think Putin and Russia have a big stake.
Okay, I'm losing people. I don't. That was not the remark I wanted to make. Yeah, you guys crazy on the. I know. Now this is that was not the one. I gotta find it, and I will, believe you me. And but it was really crazy.
Maybe if you highlight that, you know, it was when he said he hoped the gay athletes took the gold, you might be able to find it.
Yeah, I'm looking. This is the one. This is it.
Okay.
This is the one you want to hear. Okay, South Carolina, you there? 334-557, you're up and going as well. Listen to this.
It's been raised as how do we approach the Olympics. I want to just make very clear right now, I do not think it's appropriate to boycott the Olympics. We've got a bunch of Americans out there who are training hard, who are doing everything they can to succeed. Nobody's more offended than me by some of the anti-gay and lesbian legislation that you've been seeing in Russia. But as I said just this week, I've spoken out against that, not just with respect to Russia, but a number of other countries where we continue to do work with them, but we have a strong disagreement on this issue. And one of the things I'm really looking forward to is maybe some gay and lesbian athletes bringing home the gold or silver or bronze. Which I think would go a long way in rejecting the kind of attitudes that we're seeing there. And if Russia doesn't have gay or lesbian athletes, then it'd probably make their team weaker.
There we go. Whoops, there it is.
That's an incredible statement. That is incredible.
Now, when I heard that, I had a mixed emotion at first. I didn't know whether I should feel sorry for him or whether I should be angry at the people of the United States to put him back in twice.
Yes,
I didn't know which
counts.
One.
Go with
huh?
Both. Go with both. You're allowed to do that. All the above. Choice D.
Well, you do know on the White House website they're saying it's on the White House website, if you don't support gay and lesbian lifestyles, they are going to stop funding, giving you government funding, different things.
Yeah,
so
yeah. Hillary Clinton. Listen, the rise of the witch. I'm sorry, I don't like Hillary. I think that she's a political witch, and that's my personal opinion. So. You know, nobody has to go and get all upset about it, because I know people do. They have spizzorectums when I say crazy stuff like that. But listen, she was the one that they championed and put out across the world to say that year before last in January. She came out and say, and if your country does not have a gay and lesbian rights, then we're going to consider whether we're going to give you foreign aid or not, because that is so important to us here in the United States from the president and the administration. I can't stand Hillary Clinton. Okay, so now anyway. Now, her and Nancy Pelosi. Nancy Pelosi is crazy. Hillary Clinton is not. Hillary Clinton is very, very cunning, but she's wickedly cunning, and she's the type of person that you would say, if only she would use what she has for good.
Well, the problem also, Jeff, you have to add into that equation is that when you look at African American in their rights, African Americans in their rights, we use the church. We use the church to liberate us in slavery. We use the church for the civil rights movement. Now they want to do surgery, get rid of the church, and just stay with the actual right and wrong, and we're going to decide what it is now. So.
Yep.
Look, we have a problem with America because the American people aren't sharp enough. Most Christians don't know their Bibles. Can't go to Romans chapter 1, verse 26 and interpret and exegete their scripture for themselves. First Corinthians 6, chapter 4? I mean, they don't know. So if someone else can stand up and tell you something. I heard a sermon, this guy, I forget his name, I think his name was Matt something. He stood up and made an excuse as to why he feels like, as a Christian, he should be able to get married. He has to deny himself his pleasure, as if that isn't what being a Christian is all about, is denial, picking up your cross. He was arguing against it and in front of a church with hundreds of people. He's sitting up there, and none of it was biblical. It was just all based on, I should be able to, I should have the right. And 100 years ago, homosexuality was considered just as far-fetched as pedophilia is now. That's next.
Right.
And so is polygamy. And we can't, and people, oh, you're crazy. When we're all dead and gone, that day is coming. It's coming.
Wait, no, dog. It will not be when you're dead and gone unless you plan to go right now. Go ahead, Dee.
I was going to say, the other day I was having a prayer and Bible study time, and, God speaks so beautifully to us when we listen. But it was so vivid that my pleasure comes in pleasing him. And, if you think how, it's a profound thing but a simple thing, that if we are trying to live our lives to please God, the blessings that come to us are just beyond our comprehension. And he gives us the desires of our heart when our desires are, his desire. You just think about it. You want to be in the will of God.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you see people striving for what pleases them, or what focuses on them, they'll never feel complete. They'll never feel that void. And then they have to keep seeking pleasure. When you think about the true peace of God, how Scripture tells us it passes understanding.
Yeah.
It's true. How beautiful and true. And, you think, so many people think, I have to give everything up for this, Christian life. And I'm not ready to give it up. But you think what you gain is just
anybody that says that has never had an encounter with God, and so I understand
Jeff,
your logical mind could work, if you did not have that encounter. But if you had that encounter, you don't say anything like that. But go ahead.
Well, but also, Jeff, I was just going to say that if you don't believe in the power of the cross to deliver you from, and I know we're not having church on here, but I'm just saying, if you don't believe, because, they say that when Christ died, it delivers you from the power, penalty, and presence of sin. Power meaning control. So sin does not have to, you do not have to adhere to your sinful desires. And not only that, your desires can change. There's a guy by the name of John Piper, just to piggyback on what she was just saying, it says God is most glorified in us when we're most satisfied in him. So you can't have that mentality like, I can't, there's no way it's possible for me to walk victoriously over this sin, because what you're really saying is Jesus and what he did on the cross cannot deliver me. Therefore, adhere to this flesh. That's what they're saying. And when you put it like that, they don't like that. They don't like to hear that, but that's what you're saying.
I believe it's born.
I can believe you're born with it. I don't, even if you're born with it or not, can you be victorious over it? Because, look, I like big butts and I want to sleep with 50 women, but I don't. You see what I'm saying? But I'm just saying that. Look, you think your desires are any stronger than mine? Mine probably twice as strong. But that doesn't necessarily mean I have to adhere to them. So I beg to differ.
You're correct to differ as well.
God bless you.
That was funny, man. I'm sorry. You gonna give me what's my man? I like big butts and I cannot lie. But anyway, this is Afternoon with Tracy and Friends. We are going raw today. We are talking about, and this is the thing. I do want people to know, and especially those that may be members of the gay LGBT community, we're not against you because we believe what you do is wrong. We open our hearts up to you and say we'll pray with you and for you, hoping that you understand why we think it is, and the God that did not like that, and that he didn't make you a certain way, just like he didn't make a child have cancer, or he didn't make somebody get in a car accident. Men have free will, and they do what they're allowed to do because men were given dominion over the earth. Because of sin, sin is just like this. How should I say? It's just like AIDS is. AIDS has to be cured. Sin has to be cured too. And it doesn't matter whether it's me, whether it's anybody else going against anything that God talked about. We can't have adultery rights. We can't have fornication rights. If you do it, you're guilty and you have to go to God about it. And so same thing with homosexuality, bestiality. Nobody says anything about the bestiality, but you got people, you even got one man and went to jail because South Carolina knows was messing with farm animals. Now, you tell me how you get to that one. What do they call that, South Carolina? He's gone. He might be taking care of business, muting his phone. Anyway, there's a term that's being used for that. And we're going to keep it going. Now, I'm going to bring up some things here at the top of the hour. I'm going to make this one statement that Al Franken said. And, in fact, the guy that wrote on it has a whole thing called frankenlies.com. Franken believes what he's saying is true.
Right.
He really does.
And he's not a liar. He's a complete idiot.
He's a complete idiot and a very unlearned one at that. And that's what gets you. That's what really gets you. Because, you know, you can't tell people the truth. I argued with a guy all morning about who voted for civil rights and, you know, and what, how did that change the dynamic of politics in America, until I had to show him a news report and statistics about who voted. And it doesn't fit the liberal moniker, but we're going to be back after the top of the hour news. Afternoon with Tracy and Friends. God bless. We'll be right back.
Tracy and Friends. Listen to Tracy every weekday from noon to 3 on Newstalk 600. Visit our website for more about Tracy and Friends at www.tracyandfriends.com. That's T-R-A-C-E-Y and friends.com. Tune in tomorrow at noon for the next edition of Afternoons with Tracy and Friends.
WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren, the home for Afternoons with Tracy and Friends. News Talk 600 WSOM.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daniela Bellotta. Now that a judge has thrown out the racial discrimination lawsuit against Paula Deen, can her crumbling culinary empire be saved? ABC News legal analyst Royal Oaks doubts it.
The damage is done when it comes to Dean's career, but she can take some comfort in the court finding the alleged racially insensitive comments were not intended to harass a restaurant employee.
The Food Network dropped Deen, and most retailers have pulled her products from their shelves. Two of Jokhar Tsarnaev's college buddies will be arraigned today. They're accused of tossing out evidence from the suspected Boston Marathon bomber's dorm room. A new study suggests a link between stimulating childbirth
and autism. Inducing labor in the mother may raise a baby's risk of autism. A Duke University review of more than 600,000 birth records found babies born to women whose labor was induced by hormones or drugs had a 27% higher rate of autism. However, while they call the results interesting, they're not sure it's a direct cause, and they point out if the life of the mother or baby are at risk, extended labor can be more dangerous. They also say certain medical conditions during pregnancy that can lead to the need for labor induction may be the real driving force. Karen Chase, ABC News.
The American Airlines-U.S. Air merger may never take flight.
During a recent Senate hearing on the $11 billion marriage of American and its smaller competitor, U.S. Airways Chief Executive Officer Doug Parker answered the charge that the merger would hurt competition.
The merger will join two highly complementary networks, filling critical gaps for each carrier and enabling us to bring heightened levels of service to those communities that neither airline could afford to provide on its own.
The Justice Department, joined by six states and the District of Columbia, has filed suit saying the deal would raise ticket price and reduce service to many local markets. Jim Ryan, ABC News in Dallas-Fort Worth.
The billionaire behind the Hyperloop, the high-speed capsule that's shot through a pod, says it'll be a reality within a decade. But after seeing his plans, experts doubt his vision will go anywhere. This is ABC News.
Look, the worst part about business travel is worrying about my wife and kids at home alone. My family's safety is my responsibility. That's why I started researching home security. I called the big alarm companies, checked online, even looked at doing it myself. But the best technology for the best price came from Vivint. They even won the Consumer's Digest Best Buy Award. Yes, Vivint gives me a complete security system, but it does even more. Vivint's video technology is unreal. I can see what's going on in my home right from my smartphone, tablet, or computer. I can even lock the doors remotely if my kids forget. Best yet, I got Vivint's no equipment costs and free install deal. $1,200 worth of camera and security equipment at no charge. Vivint was the easy choice for my family's safety.
Take control of your family's safety with Vivint. Order now for up to $1,200 in security equipment at no charge. Just pay as little as $99 for activation. Plus, call now and installation is free. Call 1-800-789-3202. That's 1-800-789-3202. 1-800-789-3202.
Got a pile of old cell phones and tablets just laying around your house?
Don't throw them away. Your old and forgotten mobile devices can be resold. Israel Ganat runs the website Gazelle.com, which buys back unwanted gadgets.
Consumers are blown away by how much they can get for these devices, and it's usually much more than they expect.
The market for used smartphones is strong.
We think that the big chunk of those customers will want to buy used phones because that's what they can afford.
Even damaged gadgets get good money.
$85 for this. This was $10, and this is many years old.
Amazon, Nextworth, and Gazelle all pay for old devices. Richard Davies, ABC News.
You can pet the tigers here at a private zoo in Argentina, just a short bus ride from Buenos Aires. The $25 entrance fee lets you not just look at the animals, but go inside their pens, even feed them. The managers say the creatures are very mellow, haven't hurt one visitor since the zoo opened in 1994. Daniela Bellotta, ABC News.
I want my company.
Do you have unfiled tax returns or owe the IRS or state more than $10,000? If you don't take action now, your tax problem is only going to get worse. Seizure of property, bank levies, wage garnishments, and potential criminal prosecution. Call the experts at U.S. Tax Shield for help at 1-800-334-5070. Our tax advisors will review your case for free, inform you of your rights, and give you a guaranteed quote. And we have an A-plus rating with the BBB. So get protected. Call U.S. Tax Shield now at 1-800-334-5070.
Local restaurants, shops, salons, and more with savings of 50 to 90% every time. Live more, spend less. Download the mobile app now.
Now that's a real sweet deal.
SweetJack.com.
It is with sound mind and body that I, James Fredericks III, after fighting with all direct family members for decades, leave my entire fortune of $32 million to the one friend I had in the end. The package delivery guy, Matt Sunger.
Woohoo! Yeah! I had a feeling about this. I'm rich! Oh, this cannot be happening.
Actually, it's not happening.
What?
And it never will.
I don't get it.
There aren't even people here. That's just one of those murmuring sound effects.
Seriously?
Listen, if you want to have money in your future, don't rely on luck.
Huh.
Put $10 away each month. Cook once in a while instead of eating out.
Okay.
Pay down your high-interest credit card.
Right.
Small changes today, big bucks tomorrow.
So, no inheritance?
No. Go to feedthepig.org for more free ideas.
Feedthepig.org.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
And just to be clear, no inheritance, right?
When you want your morning cup of coffee to come with the latest local and national news, tune to News Talk 600 WSOM every weekday from 6 to 9 a.m. The latest news when you need it. And Youngstown's best talk, News Talk 600 WSOM. Welcome to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends, the local talk show that stimulates your mind and keeps you thinking about things going on in your world. From local issues to topics of global importance, Tracy and Friends keeps you informed and keeps the conversation going. Call to talk to Tracy and Friends at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at TracyandFriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Obama, thank you for doing everything and all the kind stuff. Thank you for all the stuff that you helped us with. Thank you for taking the courage and responsibility for everything you have done for us. And God has gave you a special power. And you are going to handle it great, just fine. You are good, Barack Obama. You are great. And when you get older, you will be able to do great things. Love, Stephen. Barack Obama!
Now, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Afternoon with Tracy and Friends. The numbers here are 1-347-945-5229-330-781-9600. That was a young African-American child that somebody actually filmed praying to the president. Now, did anybody, you guys that are on there, South Carolina, Matt, Alabama. Did you all hear that just now?
I did.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure. I was going to play it again just to make sure everybody heard it. Now, I can't imagine me allowing any child, niece, nephew, close family friend to pray to the president. And on top of that, it was a false religion because he didn't do any of the things that he said that he did. I'm sorry. I couldn't hold that one. It did nothing. He's done nothing for you, young man. You didn't get anything from him unless, of course, you're getting food stamps.
You
that's
know, this,
the type of... Go ahead, Matt.
I was just going to say, it's funny that somebody would do that because this kid doesn't know... He knows more about SpongeBob SquarePants than he does about Barack Obama. This is...
Right.
Somebody said in the chat room here, it is borderline child abuse doing stuff like this and not allowing your child to develop their own sense of right and wrong, develop their own sense of, politics, I guess, as they grow up. I'm a diehard conservative. I never, ever, ever preach politics in any way, shape, or form to my kids. That's for them. When they grow up, they live the way that I live, but they will form their own opinion. They can do that. They're humans. They have the ability to form their own opinion. Anybody who's doing this is a brainwashing Hitler-type moron.
Well, just doing that, for sure. Now, I'll say this. I did not make my daughter become anything in particular. I told her she had a right to be whoever she wanted to be as far as politics were concerned. And so she made her mind up to be, you know, what she was. My point is this. I brought her up and I told her the truth about all sides, the positives and the negatives. And I let her see some things. And I'm going to tell you, one thing went a long way to make her choose to be not far right wing, but I think that she's fairly conservative, and this is because of this. She was in a situation where her performance was absolutely head and shoulders above everybody else's. However, because of seniority, somebody else got the position. Ticked her totally off because there was no competition. I teach her to be competitive. Ticked her off. Now, this child right here has been sold a bunch of mess because nothing that he said had anything to do with what the truth is. You have a group of people called the progressives who are trying to destroy this country as it stands to turn it into nothing more than a big Europe. Why do they want to do this? Well, because of world power struggle. They need a United States where the average citizen is no more powerful than the average citizen in Europe. And believe you me, the people of Europe have no power. There's a ruling class in Europe, and then there's everybody else. Even their middle class isn't like our middle class. Oh, yeah, they have health care. They love their health care. That's all they know. But the minute that they know something different, they're over here getting health care. Just like the people in Canada. Now, we may be able to go to Canada and buy drugs cheaper because with the 20 people that live in Canada, the government is able to, you know, more or less compensate for the high drug cost in the world.
You know what, Jeff, if I can interrupt for a second, I'd like to
yes,
say
you may.
That the, in my opinion, the progressive left in America is doing more than knocking us down to Europe. They have to, honestly, really knock this country off its feet as to make Europe look like a future goal of bettering the country. I think they're actually trying to put us in a position to where Europe looks like, just the golden city on the hill, as Reagan would say. I think that's what the progressive left is trying to do.
Do you think that maybe that they're trying to even out Mexico, United States, and Canada so that everything is somewhat similar? So that when they come to do world government, that it's going to be easy for our leaders to coalesce. Now, that's the left side progressives, because the right side progressives want the United States to be strong so that we can have a United States-led one world government. I don't like either side of the progressives, but I'd rather be on the side where the United States is still the power, because we've been the moral compass of the world for many years. And some would say, but we did wrong things. Yes, we have, but by and large, we are 70% of the world's givers. 70% of all things that are given to charity, to anything, is given by the United States of America.
And you know what's funny about that? It's something you said in the last segment, which really ticks me off about what Clinton said.
Hold on. I had a local caller coming in. Go ahead.
Oh. It is the fact that we are going to threaten other countries that we give foreign aid to. We're going to threaten that foreign aid because of if they don't believe in any type of gay rights or whatever. But, you know, we're a country swimming in debt. We have a $16 trillion going on a $17 trillion debt, which is actually low when you look at the actual debt that this country owes. We have so many financial issues in this country. That's not going to stop us from giving foreign aid, but we're going to go ahead and say, if you don't believe in gay rights, then we're going to cut you off. Isn't that a little backwards? Doesn't anybody think so?
We've been going backward for the past 50 years. For the past 50 years. And hold on a minute, Matt. Local caller, go ahead.
Yeah, this is Steve.
I know, man, you missed your girl yesterday. And I'm glad. Go ahead. Go ahead, man. Go ahead.
You mean to tell me my baby was on the radio yesterday?
Yeah, your baby was on the radio yesterday.
No, I'm just kidding.
No, you ain't.
No, you're not.
I know you, Steve, but go ahead.
I'm not interested in
you. Cannot even keep a straight face, but go ahead, make your statement.
Well, Jeff, what I was getting ready to say, man, is that, you know, you continually put down the religious group that I always talk about.
I don't put them down. I'll just tell you what they are.
Well, myself, the reason why I don't put them down is because I've learned by associating with them, they've always talked about the Great Tribulation that Jesus was talking about, and that, you know, that the United States, all nations, are going to fall because, when our economy, gets bad like it is, that was a prediction that was going to happen, and that, that this country is going to fall as a nation. And, you talk about the New World Order. Well, really, the New World Order is talking about, the great day of Armageddon, because that's what's going to happen during that time, during the time of the Great Tribulation, and it also tells us about the United Nations, which is going to be considered as a world power. You read in Daniel and the Book of Revelation, it tells us, what's going to happen in the future.
Sure does, Steve.
So, I mean, as a Christian, you're not fooled at, and of course, we don't know when Jesus is going to come, but witnesses believe that since Jesus was appointed in 1940 and next year, will be 100 years that Jesus came to be a king and that he threw out.
What are you talking about now? Because you went way past
that. In other words, a war broke out in heaven, according to them, in 1914.
Oh, come on, Steve. Steve, no, stop. None of this foolishness. I said none of this foolishness. The teaching is foolishness. It is a straight cult, and they teach foolishness like that.
Well, man, because they believe that that's the truth because it had something to do with Charles Taylor Russell.
Oh, no, it did not. It did not.
He was going to be appointed as a king that year.
Yeah, well, he was appointed king long before that. So, once again, stop it. He doesn't know the Bible. That's not what it says. We're not going to discuss this anymore. That is a cult teaching. Sorry to tell you, Steve.
Yeah,
it's a cult teaching. It's incorrect. It's non-biblical. There's nothing in the Bible that supports it.
But, yes, you remember Noah in the Bible?
Remember?
People were going around mocking him.
I don't care about mocking Noah. Yes, they mocked Noah, but God.
And people didn't believe that a flood was coming.
Steve.
That's
Steve.
The same way it
is. No. Steve, no. There was something different about Noah, Steve. Now, we're not going to talk about this anymore because I don't want to hurt the people that believe all that craziness, okay? I'm not here to hurt them, but I can go through the Bible with them and tell them they're incorrect. There's nothing in the Bible that says Jesus was made king in 1914. Jesus is the God of the universe, not the brother of Satan. Satan isn't.
I don't believe that he's. Yes, they believe that he created Satan, the devil, or.
But they believe that Jesus is an angel.
Right, that he's a chief.
He is not an angel. He is God in the flesh,
Michael, the archangel.
No, he is not, sir. That's not what the Bible says. Nowhere.
And Daniel would tell.
Okay.
Us that.
See, no, he does not. That's a lie, once again.
The book of Daniel says that
Steve, I'll see you.
Okay, bye.
See you. I have very little tolerance for crazy pseudo-Christian belief because it's not true. And I believe in the true God. And we're going to go to break. 267, you will be up soon as we get back out of the break. Afternoon, Tracy and Fred.
Let's talk for a moment about a great doctor. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help you with your prenatal...
Who we have on the line here?
I'm calling from Pennsylvania.
Oh, you're the caller just called in?
Yeah.
New caller?
Yeah, I'm a fairly new caller. I don't call that often.
All right, you probably have an idea how things work. We're in break right, or they're in break, not we. They're in break right now. So, what are you? Just out of curiosity, what are you calling about?
I'm calling to make a comment, like all your other callers.
All right, they'll be back on shortly.
Anybody there?
Yeah, hello. Hello.
Hey, who's this?
I'm calling from Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania? Oh, this is Philly?
Yeah.
Where you been hiding, man?
I've been busy.
That sounds like, you say it like that, sound like you've been working.
Well, everybody's got to make a living.
Oh yeah. So what kind of Work you do, man.
Well, I currently work for a company called Aramark.
Oh, okay. My uncle used to work for them up in Worcester, Massachusetts. If it's on break.
About a lot of different things, and we were just getting ready to get to our next caller. 267, you are in the air.
I just wanted to say that you played the clip of the young child praying to the current president, but what's happening in a lot of the major cities is the public sector economy is being decimated in the sense that the public educational system is they're running shortfalls in terms of the amount of money they have to fund the school districts. A lot of African Americans work in the public sector. Over 65% of African Americans in the labor force, if they live in a major urban area, they're working in the public sector. They're either working for the state or the city in some capacity. So, you know, with this crisis with public sector pension funds and the public educational system, this administration is not addressing these issues, which is going to affect the economy of African Americans more than any other ethnic group. Because a lot of the other ethnic groups, they have more of a representation of their population in the private sector, as with the African Americans do not.
Well, there's no doubt about it, Philly. And here's the bottom line that you can't tell the people that are suffering that, and they believe you, because they don't believe you.
Well, all they have to do is read the newspaper
read the newspaper. How about check their pocketbook?
Yeah,
that should be enough, but it is not.
Well, it hasn't directly affected them as yet, but it will affect them in the sense of their children being able to go to school, or when they retire, the money not being there for their pensions.
Well, no doubt about that. No doubt about that. Did you see what the latest move is by the administration to affect the outcome of the midterms? They've done two things to get their base to come out for the midterms and vote Democrat. They went and they had Holder say he was going to relax the standard of how people get charged. Oh, wow.
Mandatory minimums.
Yes, the mandatory minimums sentencing for drug abuse of different types, drug selling, drug using, et cetera, et cetera. It should have been dealt with long ago. There's no doubt about it. But these people are very, very cunning. They have you in this situation where you're going to vote for them because you're promising them things. The Republicans are losing it because they're not saying anything that makes any sense enough where people can hear it. Now, that's not to say that they don't have some very good plans, because they do. But they're not using the media to put them out. And they look stupid. I hate to say that, because I am a Republican. Okay. But also, this is number two. The Obamacare cost caps are delayed until 2015. Now, why in the world are they going to go and not allow you. They're going to put this health care thing in place, first of all. And now the all of the people that don't buy, they're not going to get, you know, get a penalty for this year, which is going to really bankrupt a whole lot of things, because you're going to go up $6-8 trillion in cost for this program that they said wasn't going to add one penny to the deficit. They were liars then, they're liars now. And believe you me, I'm not saying they just miscalculated. They were lying, and they knew it couldn't work. Everybody knew it couldn't work except the people that voted for the president.
Well, they're also saying that if you're self-employed, if you fill out like a 1099, you're going to have to pay the premium directly. You could pay
absolutely
as much as $2,000 a year or more.
More than what you were paying in the first place. Go ahead, South. Right. I think you were going to say something. Or was that Matt?
The crazy thing about it, Jeff, is this. You know, they've lifted the mandate on small businesses and businesses in general.
Right.
But they have not lifted the mandate, the individual mandate.
That's right.
Now, what's going to happen when folks go to, especially these people that are outside of the loop, because this all happens January 1st, okay? If you don't have health insurance, guess what? They're going to slap you with a nice big old bill.
Yep.
Now, what's going to happen to all these young folks that are dependent on their earned income tax credit to come back?
What's going to happen to the what's going to happen to his situation of how they charge one person over the other? It's going to cause a great division in this country. It's going to cause a huge division. And when it does, you're going to have a mess on your hands.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to have a mess.
You got a kid, 24, 25 years old. The only thing they want to get is the annual physical, and that's it.
Right.
You know, and that may cost them, what, $70-$80, depending on where he goes to.
Right.
Now they're going to have to pay the full price. I mean, they're going to have to pay for health insurance. Come on, that's crazy.
What he's trying to do is make it so that
those kids will be put on their parents' health insurance until they're 26, so they'd be freeloading
off their
parents.
Well, I mean, you're assuming they have parents. You know, many of them don't have parents that have any health insurance. You have some people that are – go ahead.
Well, you know, like – well,
hold on, Philly. Let me ask this question first.
Is the IRS going to pursue these individuals? You know, if you owe a tax debt, you know, to the IRS, they attach your bank account, they attach anything and everything that they can to get their money, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Even to putting a lien against your house and so on and so forth.
Right, exactly.
Knowing the IRS is taxed, and this is going to be a task that the IRS has to do, are they going to go after these folks with the same vigor as they did, you know, that somebody that actually owns taxes?
Not in the beginning, they won't.
Mm-mm.
Not when this all, they're going to wait. That'll probably be 8-10 years down the road, because they need to still, even though it's passed through, they still need to sell this Obamacare to the American public and get them used to it.
Well, they're not going to be able to wait 8 years. All they're trying to do is to slow down through the midterms. And listen, this is the truth. This is what's going to happen. If they lose the midterms, they will then try to put it off until 2016, when they can win the White House again, and then do whatever they want to do. See, because that's what they're counting on. They're counting on people to be stupid and to fall for the okie doke. See, I told you it wasn't going to cause all these problems. It's causing problems left and right. The unions are raising hell about it, thank God. okay, that they're saying, look, we're not going to be able to keep our good plans that we've had all these years. The Senate and the House voted for themselves to not be part of Obamacare, and if they did, if their things go up, now it's going to be on the American people to subsidize them and their workers.
And they're making $175,000,
$180,000
a year.
A year on the surface. That's not
right.
Counting the free
that's
meals.
That's their salary, yeah.
Yeah, you ain't counting the free meals and the backdoor deals that they're able to make because of their place in power. You don't see any poor congressmen too much. I don't know any poor senators. So all of this talk of rich people, this, that, and other, it's craziness. Hold on, local caller, you're in there.
Hi, it's Dion back. I had something to do.
No problem.
But I was going to say, with this, it's all about divide and conquer.
Absolutely.
And you know that they're going to say, boy, we would like to give you that hip replacement, you know, Mr. So-and-so, but these people are not contributing what they need to, and they're the ones that are stopping you from having this care. Meanwhile, they're giving sex change operations to people. There was a report that I heard about something that convicts in the prison system were getting all this unusual health care, sex reorientation surgeries, the abortions, those kinds of things are going to be funded. But that scare is
guarantee it
for the you know, the regular needs.
Guarantee it.
The life of the individuals. And you know, when you played that clip about the little boy, I was so concerned because I thought, you know, that's idolatry, and you know, that's almost like offering a child to Molech. Remember in the Bible they said that, you know, sacrificing their children.
Yeah, I understand. I understand that principle, what you're saying. You know, this is craziness. Did you see the new law in California?
No.
Okay, California law. I'm going to pull that up as well. In California, you can be whatever gender you want to be, and the schools, K through 12, have to accommodate you for your what you think you are. So
if you're
transgendered. If you're a boy,
right,
and you think you're a girl, then you can use the girl's bathroom if you want. Doesn't matter what plumbing you have.
Let's clear this up. Yeah, it passed yesterday. Let's clear this up really quick. That means that on your birth certificate, and you're a boy. That's what that means. You're a boy on your birth certificate. You're considered a boy, but you grow up and you feel kind of feminine. So that gives you the right and the ability to walk into whatever shower room, whatever bathroom, whatever you consider yourself, K through 12. That is the definition of insane.
Well, that's the way society is moving towards a full acceptance of homosexuality. And that's why the Pope came out recently and said he supports gay priests. And
gay
priests. That's not what he said. That's not what he said, Philly. Go ahead, Sal.
Not what he said, Philly. What he said was, we should love the sinner. I'm a paraphrase. Love the sinner, hate the sin. That's the church's stance for years. He's never said anything about condoning homosexual.
But the way it's being reported in the media, it's like he is in favor of gays in the priesthood and gays in the church, the way it's being reported in the media.
Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing. Well, it is being that, but and here, let me tell you this. I don't trust this Pope as far as I can pick him up and throw him. And I don't want to offend anybody, please. But I need you to do your historical best to find out who the Jesuits are and the history of what they did in the past. That'll tell you why I say what I say and believe what I believe. I believe you're going to see a whole lot of stretches or a whole lot of gray areas when it comes to conduct from this particular Pope. even though he came out very strong in the beginning, saying that no politician that believed in abortion and supported abortion would get sacraments. I haven't seen anybody denied yet.
Well, you know, Jeff, when he spoke, he like clouded his words enough that everybody could be comforted somewhat to say, you know, like the gay people could say, oh, he spoke in favor of us, and heterosexual people could say, oh, well, it seems like he affirmed, you know, the
right
scripture to us.
Hey, Dee, we got to go to our break again. Okay. It's a hard break, so we'll be right back. Hold that thought. Callers online, stand on. We'll be right back.
I'm Harper Keegan with your headline news. A Youngstown woman admits to trying to run over three people, including two cops, with her car. Charlotte Moreland pleaded guilty in court. The incident happened in July of last year. Sentencing has been scheduled for a later date. In Austin Town, the Idaho Road Project is complete after crews worked on it for a year. The former dead-end street is now open to a new traffic signal at New Road. School leaders say the light makes it safer for buses making left turns. A Poland, Ohio business is competing to get a free Super Bowl commercial next year. Cthulhu Prime Meats is looking for community votes for the Intuit Small Business Contest. Some 60,000 businesses have entered, but so far, Cthulhu is second place in Ohio. And Mahoning County is cracking down on gang activity. Police say a grand jury last week indicted 11 of 13 members of an Eastside gang on drug trafficking and weapons charges. They're now in custody. For WSOM News, I'm Harper Keegan.
The Cumulus Health Club and Cobbler's Corner present today's health tip. Heel pain is often caused by overusing and abusing our feet and by wearing poor-fitting, non-supportive, worn-out shoes.
My feet hurt.
Ow.
All day.
Ow.
Every day. Cobbler's Corner has the solution. Heel pain is a common foot problem and is often triggered by the quality of shoes we wear. Many people punish their feet by wearing flimsy, poor-fitting, worn-out shoes. Our feet are the foundation of our body. Support your foundation by wearing properly fit, supportive, quality footwear, such as Ortho-Heel sandals and flip-flops, and Brooks and New Balance walking and running shoes. Put an end to heel pain. Stop in today and let the experts at Cobbler's Corner fit you into a pair of shoes that offer comfort and provide pain relief for daily living. Cobbler's Corner. On the corners of State Routes 14 and 46 in Columbiana. Turn the
ow
of your feet into ah.
The excitement of the new Chevrolet is back. 600WSOM.com wants to put you in the virtual driver's seat of today's most advanced vehicles and to give you a chance to win the Auto Lot jackpot. Just go to our website and enter the virtual auto showcase. There's a door to click for each of the Chevy All-Star dealerships. Check out each dealership right online. Sales hours, service hours, even a map to their front door. And once you're in, you could be just one click away from winning the Auto Lot jackpot. Your choice of $100,000 worth of vehicles. Let's see. How about five $20,000 cars? Or maybe three $33,000 SUVs? Or how about a pair of $50,000 luxury sedans? Wow. Mix and match up to $100,000.
Thank you so much.
We told you the excitement of the new Chevrolet is back at 600WSOM.com.
Everyone faces challenges in their lives. Handling it on our own sometimes is too overwhelming, but Turning Point Counseling can help. Turning Point offers the highest quality, individualized, confidential behavioral health care. Our professional and caring staff can help you or your loved one get started on the road to recovery today. Turning Point Counseling, because behavioral health care is health care. Don't wait. Visit our website for more information or call today for care. Everybody faces challenges in their lives. Sometimes these challenges can be too much to handle on our own. That's where Turning Point Counseling can help for depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts, drug and alcohol abuse and addiction, personality disorders, crisis intervention, and more. Turning Point also provides residential services in our crisis stabilization unit for those who need inpatient care. Turning Point Counseling Services, helping you on the road to recovery.
1-800-530-WSOM or 347-945-5229. Call in now to talk to Tracy and friends on Newstalk 600 WSOM.
From a Kenya National Commission on Human Rights report reads, for the sexual and reproductive rights of sexual minorities to become a reality in Kenya, the laws criminalizing their activities and behaviors will have to be repealed, end quote. The report on the public inquiry into violations of sexual and reproductive health rights in Kenya, launched last week, is now the subject of an outcry.
I would say that
the Kenya Christian Professionals Forum, condemning the government-funded organization for championing views it says deviate from the norm.
This document promotes lesbian, gay, and transsexual behavior and activity, despite the fact that Kenyans were repeatedly told that the new constitution and our laws do not legalize gay behavior, and the penal code expressly outlaws this activity.
The report explains that under national laws, the activities of same-sex relationships are largely criminalized. This makes it difficult to safeguard the sexual and reproductive rights of sexual minorities in Kenya. And so, in its recommendations, the Human Rights Body wants the government to stop the violence meted on lesbians, gays, bisexual, transgender, and sexual workers.
Our key responsibility here is protection. So, we're not discussing promotion, we're discussing protection. We need to distinguish between the discussion around decriminalization of same-sex sex, if you see what I mean, and the discussion on marriage. The commission is not discussing marriage at all.
And so the debate borders on interpretation of the law on safeguarding human rights and the other side of the coin. Article 45(2) of the Constitution, which stipulates that every adult has the right to marry a person of the opposite sex based on the free consent of the parties. Section 162 of the Kenyan Penal Code criminalizes same-sex sexual activities, punishing such an act with up to 14 years in prison.
We know that their position is that our constitution outlaws all forms of discrimination. So they are interpreting our constitution as allowing for gay behavior and gay rights.
I don't think our mission is to judge. Our mission is to protect lives. Our mission is to ensure that wherever a person's rights are violated in a way that hurts that person or in a way that injures the rest of society, then we as a commission speak. So that's what we are doing.
The commission was also accused of advocating for abortion.
What the commission was doing in that respect was actually add into that pot, which is discussing what kind of legislation should operationalize the Right to Life article in respect of its discussion around abortion.
The Kenya Christian Professionals Forum also condemned the move by a Kenyan mission to the UN for joining Norway, Finland, and International Planned Parenthood Federation in endorsing a comprehensive sexuality education proposal that reportedly goes against Kenya's constitution.
I've always been adamant that...
This as President Barack Obama announced he supports same-sex marriage. The U.S. president stressed that his was a personal position and that he still supports the concept of states deciding the issue on their own. Salim Bilu, Citizen Live at 9.
My God. Hello. Afternoon with Tracy and friends. We're back. 330-781-9600 or on Blog Talk Radio 1-347-945-5229. I cannot understand it. Why is he the homosexual evangelist of the world? Mm-hmm. Why is this happening in the world? Can anybody answer that question?
No, yes. Last day, buddy.
Please tell me. Please, 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 please. All right, since... Oh, okay, I didn't even have your pot up, you guys. Hold on. I want to try this one. No, I can't do that. That's not what... That's not what I'm doing here.
Can I tell you something?
Yeah.
Wait.
Not just my friend. I am so proud of you.
There have been moments in history.
No.
Courage to stand up for what they believe in, and that one action changes everything.
Okay, I can't take it. That's not what I want to hear anyway. I was trying to get the African president, and I'm going to try to make it play until it gets to that point. And I don't understand why the president feels that it is so necessary to evangelize LGBT in the world. And some of the very crazy behavior that you see coming out of that community. But when it comes to the poor people of America, the only thing they get is crumbs thrown to them, and nobody's saying anything about them making a better life for themselves. He attacks the church with impunity. And yet, we have churches falling over to support his actions. Somebody talk to me.
Jeff, our pastor just got back from a mission trip in Ghana. He's from Ghana, and he became a United States citizen after 9/11 because he said that he was so overwhelmed by the people and their resilience in this country and how mm-hmm. it flocked to the churches.
Right.
And he wanted to be a citizen. But when he was back in Ghana, he was telling us that our president was influencing all the countries there.
Oh, yeah.
That if they wanted to have aid, and it was almost like how do you make a decision like that? It's, you know, like if you want food for your people, then we need to know that you're progressive.
Oh, yeah.
And that you will, allow same-sex marriages, that you'll allow abortions, that you'll allow, you know, all these things. And the leaders of Ghana, the leader was a Christian man, and some of these other countries said, you know, thank you so much, we appreciate your assistance thus far, but if it comes down to us making those choices between, our faith and food, we know that God will supply.
That is absolutely the truth.
And he was very angered and frustrated that he did not get the endorsement for his plans. And they treated the president respectfully, but they stood their ground. and I think we need outspoken leadership in this country. You know, we need people who will be willing to say, you know, this isn't right. You know, when I was listening to the clips that you were playing and Eric Holder talking about how they're no longer going to criminalize some drug offenses because they don't have room to hold these offenders, so they're going to just allow people to use drugs. And then I think, but they're going to start arresting people if they don't buy health insurance. So what does that mean? That means you can abuse drugs and you're not only going to hurt yourself, but you're going to, you know, harm other people. But yet law-abiding people who choose not to have health insurance, they're going to make room in the prisons for them.
Here's the one I wanted to play. If everybody would be patient with me just for a second. I finally found this clip. And I wanted you to do that. My nephew was just over with our church, our pastor, over in...
Welcome again to Africa, President Obama. However, I wish to remind you one very important point, which is, if your father was gay, you wouldn't have been the first black president of America, because in any case, you wouldn't have been there. Very many Africans, Mr. President, were inspired by you becoming the first black president of America. The journey towards you becoming the president of America started when you were conceived in a relationship between a man and a woman. So it will be very selfish of you to deny other future Obamas who are not yet conceived a chance to become great leaders by promoting homosexuality in our continent. With all due respect, Mr. President, homosexuality is not and will never be a priority in Africa. What African leaders are keen on is alleviating poverty, fighting disease, improving the lives of their citizens, and more so creating opportunities for young people and women. We suspect that the next thing that will happen is that aid to African nations will be tied to their support of the homosexuality agenda. We therefore appeal to you and your government, Mr. President, to divert the very big budget that has been set aside to promote and market homosexuality in Africa to worthy causes that will not kill the African value system. Thank you.
Wow.
Beautiful. Yeah.
Absolutely beautiful.
How can you refute that?
But the politicians in the West are not going to be able to impose Western values on African nations because it's their religion that determines what their culture is. So they're going by exactly what their religious beliefs are.
Well, like I said, of course they should go by their own beliefs, and what should be allowed in their country is what they believe in, not what the United States believes in. Now you're going to talk about George Bush nation building and imposing our values. This is the most vile thing I've ever heard, and it makes me sick. It is not right by any chance, by any means. You don't have to do that. If you want to do something, then you take those people out of there, because these people are not, ready to deal with this mess there.
Well, that's just it. The West is more of a decadent society, whereas those societies are still in an agricultural phase of development. So they don't have the same vices that we have in the West. So they're
going
to go by what their individual cultures are in terms of the way they live their lives.
Now, they've taken it down. Yeah, go ahead, South. I'm going to tell you. Because we're almost at our top of our break. Go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead, Jeff. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, the Kenyan president said, "We appreciate what you said, Mr. Obama. We understand, that this is your passion." But he said, "But we here in Kenya, we're a godly people. We serve the living God, and we don't believe in that type of thing." Now, they have it in their constitution, as we once had it in our laws. Okay, not trying to dog the people, and we'll talk about this on the other side. Give me a call here, 330-781-9600, 1-347-945-5229. Going to top of our news. Be right back.
For more about Tracy and Friends at www.tracyandfriends.com.
Is anybody in the chat room?
Hey, Dee. How you back?
Hi.
You're back.
Hey, listening
back
to that, I'm thinking about the Mark of the Beast. And I'm thinking how, if you won't swear your allegiance to the, to the Antichrist, you won't be able to have food or conduct commerce. You think this is kind of like a preemptory plan for tying aid and benefit to false teaching? And thank God that their leadership is standing up saying,
a couple of years back, Hillary Clinton tried to bully, you know, Uganda. And the Uganda nation, they said no, because they said that they were not going to cease their laws against homosexuality. And so, you know, that's they didn't back down.
Well, you know, anytime I get together with a Bible study group or Sunday school class or, you know, just, you know, Christian folks, I say we really don't realize how we have to surround prayer, we surround these issues, you know, with prayer and continue that God would return to lead this country. If the people of God keep praying that he would indeed see this, you know, that this is a nation under God, you know, there are a lot of people who have kind of like a fatalist attitude, and they say, well, we know these things have to happen before Christ returns. But I still believe that we need to pray for God's protection and his will to be done. And I just get frustrated when I see people just accepting this.
Well, I think it also says in the Bible that the kingdoms of the earth are going to go the way of Satan, and that eventually the earth is going to be so corrupt that Christ will have to come back. So people who are Christians expect to see these types of things to happen in the earth.
Yes.
Well, expectations of things to happen and doing the right thing and trying to evangelize it are two different things. We expect it and we see it. But the thing that I think is catching a lot of us by surprise is the fact that there are a lot of churches that are supporting that agenda, which is very, very disturbing to me. And a lot of times you wind up trying to just correct the doctrine. And that becomes very, very discouraging.
But one thing I'll say is, like, I happen to be a Seventh-day Adventist, and the Seventh-day Adventist Church knows there's a lot of false doctrine that's in the world today. And there's a lot of churches that only their only function is to function as more of a social club. They're not actually going out trying to evangelize people like in that way. So I think that what will happen is there's that the people who are truly about Christ, they are eventually going to leave these false churches, and they're going to try to seek out to try to find the true church and to try to find a church that is part of the remnant church of the last days.
Well, what you've got is, I'm very familiar with the Seventh-day Adventist Church, and you know, several years ago, there were some folks that called Ellen G. White a nut for holding the philosophy and believing, you know, just even believing that Saturday was a Sabbath day. You know, my mother's a Seventh-day Adventist, and I basically grew up in that church, so I'm very familiar with it. And people have a tendency to want to instead of following what the Bible says and following what the Word of God says and being led by the Holy Spirit, they have a tendency to want to be led by the flesh. And that's, I think that's what's happening. I said it this years ago that there are three factors that will cause a man, that influence a man. One is God, the Spirit of God. Two, Satan. And three, the man's flesh. But what's happened today is Satan is getting a lot of blame for things that are rightfully need to be attributed to a man's flesh. And that's all there is to it. And we're driven by our flesh, but Satan is getting blamed for it. You see, a man don't want to take responsibility for what he's doing.
There are two warring entities, and it would be spirit and flesh. And your spirit your spirit has to be strengthened so that you can overcome the flesh.
Right. And that's the problem. People haven't able people have not been able to strengthen their spirit so they can overcome the flesh, or that they're able to overcome their carnal nature.
But see, that's the choice.
Well, you know, I was hoping that that gentleman, Steve, might still be listening, because I got my Bible in the end of the New Testament in Revelation, at the very end, I think starting in the last chapter, verse 18, it says, "Woe to him who adds to this word, and woe to him who takes away." And that's why any modern religion that was founded in the 1800s, I've used this when I've talked to Jehovah's Witness or Mormons who have come to my door, and I've shown them that scripture, and I've said, I can't listen to what you would share with me from your beliefs and your doctrine, because your foundation comes from the 1800s, from a man-made doctrine. And I said, this tells me right at the end of the scripture that that God warned against people adding to the word of God and taking from it. And so if Steve is still there, you know, I'd encourage him to read that portion of scripture and just pray over it and ask God to speak to him about whether these teachings that he has are acceptable to God.
Exactly.
And I don't know, you know, I don't want to offend, but, you know, I don't know if anybody's ever presented that to him, but it's a very powerful section of scripture, because it warns us that there will be people who will come, and even now there's modern translations that are being made of the Bible.
I want to bring up one other thing before I go back to the callers. I want to make something very clear. In the African-American community, there's a story that's told over and over and over again, because all the old African Americans are dead now, which would be my grandfather and great grandfather's generations. That lie is that because in 1964, the African Americans saw that the Southern Democrats, now I'm going to tell you who said this, the Southern Democrats supported civil rights, that's when black people switched over and became Democrats. I'm going to try to find that, because it was spoken by the Reverend Al Sharpton. He was on a show on Centric Network called The Great Debate. It was Niger Ennis, conservative, black conservative, Star Parker, black conservative, debating Al Sharpton, liberal, progressive, black man, Democrat, and also Julianne Malvo, of course, my favorite.
Really?
Of all. Oh, man, it was something else, man. If it didn't get your blood boiling, that's because you had evidently bled to death and there was no blood left in you and you couldn't see it anyway. Al Sharpton made this outrageous charge that the Southern Democrats, they came and they supported civil rights. And when black people saw that, they changed and they became Democrats. That's a lie.
Huh?
That's a lie. Mr. Al Franken, on pages 253 and 254, or 262 and 263 of his paperback of lies, Franken writes, "When President Lyndon Johnson signed the Civil Rights Act, he is said to have turned to an aide and remarked, 'We have just lost the South for a generation. The Republican Party became the home to Southern bigots and still is today. While the Democrat Party lost the South that year, they did gain my dad, a lifelong Republican, who voted for Herbert Hoover and every other GOP candidate through Nixon. Now, how did that happen? Because Nixon was after 1964. Dad switched parties in 1964 because the Republican nominee, Barry Goldwater, voted against the Civil Rights Act. He never voted Republican again. Go ahead, Sal, because you know a lot about this. I'm going to read on in a minute.
You know, Jeff, it just amazes me how the snow job that the Democrat Party has put on people. In the state of South Carolina, up until 1949, the Democrats controlled everything, including down to the race.
Absolutely.
The political, the primary. It took a circuit court ruling in 1948, went into effect in 1949, because the good old boy network down here declared in the state of South Carolina that the Democrat Party primary system was essentially a club. So therefore, if you were not a part of the club, you were not eligible to be, a participant in the process. You couldn't be
right.
Exactly.
And that club was really called the Ku Klux Klan. But go ahead.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Exactly. So what happened was they wound up. The judge wound up saying, no, that's incorrect. It is not a social club. By doing so, you are denying the civil rights, and you are violating. You know, you're violating these people's rights. For the right to be represented. And so that happened in 1948. There was also something very interesting that happened in 48 at the same time. Mr. Strom Thurmond ran for governor and was elected governor, and shortly after that he ran for senator and was elected senator of the state of South Carolina. Now, you know, I look at it and just kind of shake my head because, you know, I have no idea. I have no and the only thing I can point my finger at, Jeff, is the fact that the Sanger doctrine of getting the pastor involved in the black community is the way to go.
There's no doubt about it. You can't reach the black community without it. But let me read on, South. I want to read on just a little bit more, okay?
All right.
Okay, the writer of this article, because it was a short article, says, the supposed strident switch by Franken's dad is somewhat curious, considering the fact that the Civil Rights Act of 64 was passed largely due to the support of Republicans. That's why when they tell you that the Southern Democrats became Republicans, it's a lie. You had two of them that became. Strom Thurmond was one, and I forget the other guy. But there was two people that became Republicans at that time, and they did it for political purpose, nothing else. Okay, according to Congressional Quarterly, in the Senate, 82% of Republicans voted for the Civil Rights Act, while only 69% of Democrats did. 20 out of 21 Southern Democratic senators voted against the Civil Rights Act. In the House, 80% of Republicans voted for the Civil Rights Act versus 61% of the Democrats. 92 of the 103 Southern Democrats voted against it. So why in the world did Southern Democrats become Republicans? They didn't, and it was a lie. It has always been a lie. And upon signing the Civil Rights Act, President Johnson cited Republicans for their overwhelming support of the act. Why would Franken's father switch parties on account of this issue? Yes, Senator Goldwater voted against the 64 Act, but to brand him as a racist or to imply anything similar is simply ignorant and unknowing of Goldwater's career. The truth is that Goldwater had a rich history of championing civil rights, which he did, including his success in desegregating the Arizona National Guard before President Truman had even done so with the U.S. Armed Forces. You're making too much noise. Before he was a public official, Barry Goldwater integrated his family's business. When he was a city councilman in Phoenix, he became a founding member of the Arizona NAACP, and he remained a proud member until his death. In the Senate, he strongly supported both the 1957 Civil Rights Act, which Lyndon Baines Johnson and John Fitzgerald Kennedy destroyed. I'm adding that because that's the truth. Although he eventually regretted his vote, his opposition to the Civil Rights Act of 64 was based strictly on political ideological grounds. As a strong conservative, he believed that two of its sections, Title II and Title VII, unlawfully overextended the role of federal government. If Franken's father wanted to steer clear of racists, he may have wanted to shy away from the direction of Democratic Senators Al Gore, Sr., the former vice president's dad, and former KKK member Robert Byrd, who participated in an unsuccessful 74-day filibuster of the Civil Rights Act in an attempt to stop the Civil Rights Act. File this under the term, Now, when I tell you why I agree with the right more than I agree with the left, this is why. This is why. Go ahead, Sal.
Well, I'll tell you what. if anybody has any doubt now, you know, I don't get it. You've got to take the facts, go with them, and let that be done. Let that be the guiding factor. I mean, and I've said on this show, logic and emotion. You cannot legislate with emotion. It's going to get you in trouble every time. Emotion has been a cornerstone of the civil rights movement since it's been around. But you can't do that anymore. You just can't do it, yeah? It's not going to benefit you.
Oh, I understand.
And we are a very very reactive type of people, and we need to be a proactive type of people. Just like the kid that got shot, I forget what city it was, he got shot because he brandished a gun and shot at the police three times. They shot back.
Yeah.
One of them hit him in the head. And the honest saying they're just killing the black people on the street. Why they had to shoot him?
He shot at us. Yeah, yeah. He does the shooting back at you, but you're not supposed to shut him down then. See, it goes too far. It has gone too far. It has gone to the place where they think that you are stupid. And you were going to follow the crazy meanderings of an Al Sharpton, and the things that he says to get paid. He's getting paid. Okay, that's what that's all about. Plain and simple. Now, do I think he cares about the black community? I think to a degree he does, but he's not doing them any service, doing us any service, I should say. Because why? He's not using the truth to fight a battle. And he picks cases where he can make money versus picking the ones like going to Chicago, where you had over 400 and something murders last year, 60 something in one weekend.
How can you not see this? I mean, the man he's got to have eyes. He can't be that blind.
Oh, no, you read his first book. You, it's a whole totally different Al Sharpton. Totally different. Al Sharpton's first book was brilliant. It was brilliant.
It doesn't make any sense, Jeff.
Just like with Farrakhan, he was very talking self, you know, being self-supportive. But somewhere, somebody offered that check. It's just like he was very critical of Barack Obama until Barack Obama made him the head of his, voting in campaign, re-election campaign, and paid him a gabillion dollars to do it that he owes a whole lot of taxes on. So that should tell you something. That should tell us all something. Callers online, hold on again. Give us a call here, 330-781-9600, 1-347-945-5229. The only thing that's going to stop the ignorance of people in the United States is the truth. If I speak to you people, I'm not going to speak to you just my opinion, or else I'll tell you it's my opinion. But when I tell you the truth, which I just read to you, that's historical fact. Afternoon with Tracy and Friends. We'll be right back on the other side.
Your car will look brand new after a professional cleaning at Kingley Hand Wash and Wax. All work is done by hand, which protects the paint, leaves no water spots. You won't believe how good it looks. Walk-ins are always welcome, or book an appointment for a full detailing. Thursday is Ladies' Day. Get an additional service free with any regular wash. Kingley offers pickup and drop-off service. They'll take you to work, an appointment, and pick you up when your car is ready. If it's not Kingley, it's not clean. Kingley Hand Wash and Wax, 309 West Midlothian Boulevard.
Fit Family. Unique, individualized, and promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austin Town designs a personal exercise program just for you, with your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austin Town receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for, with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown. Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com. That's fitfamily1.com. Do you depend on your computer? Then you know that a virus on your computer is bad news. But there is something you can do. Just call this number, 330-759-9700. That's 330-759-9700. That's the number for Ambassador Technologies in Liberty Township. Ambassador Technologies specializes in virus removal and restores your computer to full performance. We also specialize in computer repair, from desktops, laptops, laptop screens, laptop power supplies, laptop batteries, and hardware updates. And when your business needs networking, Ambassador Technologies is the place to go. Ambassador Technologies, Youngstown's best for computer repair, networking, website development, and even low-cost business cards and publishing. Call Ambassador Technologies at 330-759-9700. Online at ambastech.com. That's ambassTech.com.
If you want to work until you drop, reduce your standard of living in retirement, or lose more of your hard-earned money in the stock market again, then just ignore me. But if you'd like to protect the money you save, receive a steady, predictable retirement income, and enjoy financial security for as long as you live, then listen to this. A free report is now available that reveals the wealth-building secrets Wall Street and the banks don't want you to know. This report reveals how you can get guaranteed growth, safety, and real prosperity without risking your money in the Wall Street casino, and how to get the money you need when you need it, simply by asking for it. This is the best way to have a 100% secure retirement and know your money will last as long as you do. And it beats the pants off any IRA or 401k. To learn more about this method and to get your free report, go to bankonyourself.com right now. That's bankonyourself.com. www.bankonyourself.com.
Provocative, passionate, award-winning. It's the Valley's new home for Sean Hannity, right here on Newstalk 600, WSOM.
If it comes up, it goes out. Live weekdays from noon to 3. Listen to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends, the local talk show that covers the Valley issues that matter to you, plus global topics and news of the day. Tracy and Friends on Newstalk 600 WSOM.
Intelligent, energetic, controversial.
Dramatic last stand of the fugitive ex-cop Christopher Dorner.
America's correspondent, Geraldo Rivera.
I know people, there are lots of people who sympathize with his cause, but to sympathize with what he did, no, I don't think so.
This is Geraldo on News Talk 600 WSOM.
We're back with Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600 WSOM. 347-945-5229 or toll free 1-800-530-WSOM, online at tracyandfriends.com or 600WSOM.com. Now, here's Tracy.
And we're back once again, Afternoon with Tracy and Friends, rounding out the end of the day. Tracy will be back tomorrow hanging out with you and doing what she does on Wednesday. I appreciate all of you guys that have been here to support me today. We have South Carolina and Matt still in the line, and D just hung up, and it's okay. Somebody else can give that spot, 330-781-9600. I want you to call me and tell me I'm wrong, please. I'll be nice, not holler at you, but please bring facts. Bring facts, and let me know how wrong I am. Please. Please, please, please.
Well, the truth shall set you free, Jeff. Can you explain to me why, when folks are presented with the cold, hard truth, why they won't listen and they'll deny it every day, all day long, even to the point of calling you a liar?
Oh, well, one of my friends did that today on Facebook.
I did not.
That wasn't you, Matt. Oh, man, Matt crazy. Matt had me rolling 7 o'clock this morning. I read some things he put on there from last night.
It was something I had to point out, Jeff. It was just, it's one of these lies that you're talking. It wasn't even a lie. It was something that, when you have somebody come up all of a sudden, what was it dealing with? They were worried about the cost of a program that we could put together to take control of
his welfare. Go ahead and say it, because she know who she is. It's Diva. Go ahead. Put it out there.
you just spilled the beans there. But yeah, she kind of called. I brought up an idea. I said, why don't we use come up with a government initiative like they do the IRS to be able to go after some of these people that are abusing the welfare system, abusing food stamps. Why can't we put together a system like the IRS has done so well to be able to put that down? And all of a sudden, Diva, who I respect, but she is a very known liberal, said, well, how are we going to pay for that? Are you kidding me? You're worried now about how we're going to pay for a program, but yet you look at Obamacare and say, we'll just worry about it after the bill passes. Come on, people. You really got to start listening to yourselves and understanding what you're saying. That's all.
What you're saying. And maybe I'm being too serious about this because I know that, people don't, or maybe I'm too intense. I don't know what it is. But I know one thing. I can't take it. I can't take the foolishness. It really bothers me. And, I just don't get it. People say that same thing all the time about the Dixiecrats, how all of them went over and became Republicans. Lie. 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 It was a lie. From the beginning, it was a lie. And I told people, that's not the truth. Where'd you get that from? And they always get up something. And guess what? Johnson didn't turn to his aide and say, we lost the South. We just lost the South for a generation. He turned and said, we lost the South, but them N-words will vote for us for the next 200 years. That's what Mr. Johnson said. That's what Mr. Johnson said. 269.
If you don't believe it, it's in his own words.
Hold on, Sal. Okay. I got a new caller. 269, you're in there.
Yeah, let me be the first to tell you, Jeff, that you are absolutely 1,000% wrong on most of your political views as it relates to blacks. So I don't even have to know what the subject is. I just know you're wrong.
Okay, now, Al Sharpton, I watched Al Sharpton on a debate the other day on Centric Network. Ed Gordon was the moderator between two black conservatives and two black liberals. The black conservatives were Star Parker, Niger Ennis. The black liberals were Julianne Malveaux and Reverend Al Sharpton. Mr. Gordon did an excellent job of being the moderator because he made sure that the right questions were asked of both people, and as Malveaux and Sharpton made cracks on, you know, Niger Ennis and Star Parker, who were trying to have an intelligent conversation, and the audience wasn't trying to hear the conversation either. They were laughing at the cracks. Very hard for you to say this. He made this stupendous statement that his relatives were all Republicans up to the civil rights vote. And because the civil rights vote was supported by the Southern Democrats, that's when black people became Democrats. They left the Republican Party and became Democrats. Now, tell me where I'm wrong at when I said that that's a lie and the truth is not in it.
On that particular issue, Jeff, you may not be wrong.
You know I'm not wrong.
Well, but you know I'm not wrong. My view on that is, you know, that's, you know, three-card Molly, the black Republican, black conservatives or black liberals. That's all you're talking about is two in one slave house quarters and two in another slave quarters, and you all are Mickey Mousing back and forth about who getting more of the master's resources. I mean, give me a break.
No. It's not about getting master's resources because neither party gives you their resources. So that's a foolish notion. Okay? Think about that. You don't see any economic policy coming toward black people except from Richard Nixon. Am I correct? No, I'll take that back. Richard Nixon and then the next person that did was George Bush, the last George Bush we had. Richard Nixon gave us affirmative action. He gave us the black business loan. George Bush knew the economy was failing and the poor people were going to get hit terribly bad, and he gave the faith-based initiative to help the hurting people that usually get 30 cents on every welfare dollar that comes down to them, where they'd get 70% of that dollar coming to them because it'd be administrated by the churches and faith organizations. So now tell me where I'm wrong about that one.
Well, on the faith-based initiative, that part of it is correct, that if there's a direct pipeline to the church, that percentage would flip. So, but I was talking about ultimately what you're talking about is two black conservatives and two black liberals debating about which of their ideals gets blacks further. I mean, I'm sure they just weren't talking to be talking, right? I would assume they were debating about.
Yeah, they were trying to say. Yeah, what works and what doesn't, and
right. Okay.
They had nothing to offer. Tell you the truth. Well, go ahead.
Okay. Well, yeah. So that's all I was saying. That's a joke. Black conservatives and black liberalism, both of them are jokes. But
well, you use a party. Use a party to bring attention to certain things, and to get certain things done for the people that support those parties, or to support the government. So therefore, it's not a lost cause. It is an uphill battle to get something done or to get something out of them, but it is still in your best interest to be involved in the political game. An unlisted caller, you will be the very next person. Don't go nowhere.
Well, let me take that back. A couple of things you said you were right on. So now I said 99% of your political views are wrong. So I'm going to stick to that one now.
No, you got to go with 98 now.
Okay, 98. Oh,
Michigan, but I'll tell you what, man. I'm going to tell you what. I appreciate you, though, man.
Yeah.
you're not, you know, I understand where you're coming from, you know, and so,
yeah.
You know, I can get to your logic, although I think it's flawed. But yeah. At the same time, I can get to your logic because, you know, you've been through the gamut and the games that people have played for years, and you understand. I do too.
Well,
I just
the thing about it, Jeff. The only reason you believe that it's flawed is because ultimately what drives your politics and your social theory is faith and not science. So wait a minute. I will nothing that I'm going to say about politics and the social theory is going to be based off of opinion. It's going to be based off of something that you just said before you went to the break. You align truth with historical facts. I don't have absolutely no problem with that. Everything that I'm going to say, I'm going to align it with historical facts. None of it will be my opinion.
I got you.
So from that perspective, when you say my logic, it's not my logic. It's drawing conclusions based off of historical facts, and that's what social science is. Now, for some reason, when it comes to the black phenomena, we don't want to use that. That driving what drives social science is historical facts. When it comes to black folk and their plight, that's baloney. Now, why?
Oh, I got you. Well, here's here you want to. Listen to my Facebook post from this morning, and you'll get that because I made a statement, and this is my statement, and I mean it. I was trying to tell people to stand your ground is a good law, it's not a bad law, and that they should look into it more and look at the statistics of what happened versus versus what they were being told by the left rabble rousers that get you all upset and get you getting ready to go out and vote for the midterms and vote against these people that do a lot of different things and I'm trying to find my own post and can't find it. but here's the gist of what I said. I said that. Because a lot of people get real nervous when I say that I'm pro-black.
Hey, Jeff, I got it in front of me. You want me to read it?
Yeah, you read it. Read my post up, because I can't find it this quick. Well,
Jeff Green posts, stand your ground is a good law. It allows the property owner to defend what is his without question. It is wrong for me to have to allow a thief to break in still while my belongings, and as long as he is retreating, I cannot stop him. I suffer for his stealing because my insurance costs go up. The law is a great deterrent and to B and E. P- please think about this and look at the statistics of the law. You cannot get killed with stand your ground if you are... Oh, you know what? My browser just crashed. I'm sorry. Yeah, yeah.
You can't, that's the wrong post. That's the wrong post, but I mean that one too. But what I said was, a lot of people get nervous when they hear me say, you know, that, well, let me see this. Is this it? I'm trying to say, I'm sorry, everybody. I hope I'm not boring you. Because my unlisted caller fell off. I hope he calls back or she calls back in because I really wanted to hear what you had to say. Here we go. This is the gist of it. I can do it without the thing. I said, because I'm pro-black does not mean that I'm anti-white. It means that I am pro my people who were brought here against their will, forced to go to work, and have survived even though there have been numerous and continual threats to their existence. Don't fear me because I say I'm pro-black. Don't fear me, but embrace me because I'm a better friend than I am than I would be your enemy. I'm a better friend. That's what I said. And people think that he's getting racist. I'm not racist. I'm saying my people suffer still from injustices in this country. And I'm sure there's other people that have some problems here and there. But by and large, if your skin is white, you can assimilate. I'm not against that. I understand that. But all I'm saying is I'm for my people becoming independent of political systems, because that's the only way they're going to survive.
Whoa!
I've always said
that.
Jeff
talking?
Man, get out of here! I'm gonna block you, Michigan. Michigan,
hey,
hold on!
Who is that?
Stop that! Unlisted caller, go ahead, because I'm getting ready to block Michigan. No, I ain't. You're gonna be open, but I want this caller to go ahead.
Yeah, I got tired of holding the phone. I hung up.
Don't get tired of holding the phone. You ain't got nothing to do.
Hey, look, Jeff, I want to correct you on some things here, and I'm not going to call you a liar. I'm going to just say you have misinformation. You brought up about President Johnson, right?
Yes, sir.
You said he used the N-word. When did he
ever
use it? No, he didn't. And
yes, he did.
What, Jeff, I've been around. I was around, and I've been active in politics for a long time. Never ran for no office. But let me tell you, you're going to talk over me.
Well,
now,
I mean,
Jeff, allow me to finish my conversation?
Okay.
I'll
let you spout. Go ahead.
Okay, I listened to him. I watched him when he signed that Voting Rights Act, okay? He had Martin Luther King there and about a half a dozen other civil rights activists. And one of the things he said was, we're going to lose the South for generations. That was one of the things he mentioned. And he was right. That's when the Southern Democrats joined the Republican Party, left it in droves. Okay, then another thing. Oh, wait, you're in a fit. Jeff, I didn't call you no lie. I watch.
But your facts are incorrect, brother. My brother. That's why I'm saying to you, that's not what happened whatsoever. He signed it while he was on a doggone plane. First of all,
no, he did not.
Okay.
I watched him, and they shows photos of that now. He was
they
in
show
the White
photos
House.
Of when he addressed the people.
He was in the White House when he signed it and handed those pins out, the different ones, Martin Luther King. Different individuals that were there. And he made that statement when he said we will lose the South for generations. And he did. The Southern Dixiecrats, they call themselves, joined the Republican Party, and they are there now. He never used
no, they
the
aren't.
N. What did he
that,
get? He
that's
never used the
not
N. Yeah.
the truth. That's
will you
not
allow
the
me
truth.
To finish? You can, you
yeah,
can,
but you're not telling the truth, my friend, and this is I can't let
Jeff,
you do that.
No, you. Hey, look.
You let them other cronies of yours talk as long as they want to, and you don't interrupt them. You calling me a liar now, right?
I'm telling you that your facts are absolutely incorrect.
Jeff, look.
The Southern Democrats did not vote for civil rights. In fact, the Democrats, period, did not support civil rights.
There were some Democrats that did not support it. But the thing is, them Republicans back then, back in the 60s, were not like these here teabaggers Republicans today. Okay? They were a different breeds of an animal.
Once again, you are absolutely incorrect.
For a few minutes, you can correct me some other time. Now, let me correct that guy that was talking about the Strom Thurmond. Strom Thurmond ran as a segregationist. I think he was a senator at the time. And he's the guy that knocked up the 16-year-old servant. Remember that? That was in 1948, the year I got out of Uncle Sam's Navy. Okay? So I know some facts. As far as Martin Luther King and Jesse Jackson, I was there in 1963.
But you're wrong. I was in my
30s.
You're wrong when you say Lyndon Johnson did not use the N-word.
When did he use it?
Hold up. Lyndon Johnson used the N-word.
When?
And Bing it or Google it.
When?
And he's got his presidential tape. In 1964, he did it.
Oh, that's
exactly.
Bullshit.
Whoa. We're on terrestrial radio, my brother.
I apologize.
Okay,
you
good?
I hate confusing you guys with facts.
Well, there's no confusion, sir, because it is. I'll tell you what, there are tapes. You can go and Google it, and you can find it. I've been looking at it for the past 10 minutes while you've been sitting here saying that everybody doesn't know what they're talking about, and everything proves you wrong, sir.
Who the hell are you now? I don't even know. Where did you come from?
I'm going to say this. The ceremonial signing, he absolutely did do it at the, I believe, the White House. I'm looking at the reel. But when he okayed everything, he was actually aboard the presidential plane, and his aide has sworn under oath that, guess what? He said that when he signed it, he said, we're going to lose the South, but them N-words is going to vote for us for the next 200 years.
I don't believe that.
You don't have to believe it.
That.
I don't care.
I know you don't care.
Okay, but and guess what? Look. He was a strong segregationist from Texas, and his record shows it. And
he said
and,
that.
And he in 1950...
That. He admitted that in 1957. He admitted he was a segregationist, and he also said, at that time, I had to be one or I'd have never got elected. But when he became president of the United States, and he is one of our greatest civil rights presidents.
No, he wasn't. Now let me read you some statistics, and then I'm going to let you finish talking. Okay.
Go ahead. I hope you're not long-winded now. It's 82% by my clock.
In the Senate in 1964, 82% of Republicans voted for the Civil Rights Act, while only 69% of Democrats did. 20 out of 21 Southern Democratic senators voted against the Civil Rights Act. In the House, 80% of Republicans voted for the Civil Rights Act versus 61% of the Democrats. 92 of the 103 Southern Democrats voted against civil rights.
Okay.
Now.
I'll give you that.
Let me give you the last thing. The only reason why Johnson signed that bill, because in 1957, he and JFK destroyed the civil rights bill, the same bill that Eisenhower put forth in 1957. So now, why did they change from 57 to 60 to 63, 64? Do you think it might have been because they were escalating the Vietnam War and they could not have unrest in the United States? And do you think that when Martin Luther King started talking against the Vietnam War, that that's when he got assassinated? See, that should tell you who these people are, brother.
Let me think. Since you mentioned Martin Luther King, I told you, what's the 28th of this month? It'll be 50 years. That was be 50 years ago. And I love to repeat this. I was there. I was a young man of 34 years old. I was in that half a million crowd or whatever. And I'd love to, I wish some, most of the people I knew back then, they're no longer here. Okay? And I listened to that crowd, the Reverend Jesse Jackson. Let me finish this. They call Martin Luther King every filthy name in the book, the same way they're doing the Reverend Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton.
So the black people.
He was, no, these are white folks and a handful of black people. So let me see you talking over me, Jeff. I was there. Where were you? How old were you 50 years ago?
I was older than 50.
Okay. How old were you, Jeff, 50 years ago?
I was old enough.
I'm asking you the question. How old are you now?
I'm old enough. I don't tell nobody my age.
It don't matter.
I'm 32. You're
sounding like one of them women now. But anyway.
Yeah, thank you. The president would be proud of me.
Hey, here's the thing.
Go ahead.
Okay. Well, no, I was saying this man was called a communist, a womanizer, you name it. Oh, and another thing, his last name was King, right? They called him Coon.
Yeah.
Did you know that's what the white folks, another name the white folks had for us, the racist? Martin Luther Coon, a troublemaker.
Okay.
A poverty pimp. The
what's
same
the
thing.
What's the point?
No, they didn't call it no poverty pimp.
I was there, man. You telling me I was there? Now you calling me a liar?
No, I'm just saying that wasn't even used at that time.
Listen, the same thing that they're calling the Reverend Jackson, Al Sharpton, and any other black man or woman that's worth their salt, they're demonized. Okay, and I don't think FBI J. Edgar Hoover call him the most dangerous Negro in America. They had him set up to die. Okay?
And who gave J. Edgar Hoover permission to do that?
Now you're trying to say there was J. Edgar Hoover was a racist.
I see.
Okay?
Was. And who gave him permission to do that to Martin Luther King?
This man was more powerful than some of the presidents. Even the presidents were feared because he had so much stuff on him. Okay?
But he got permission from a particular attorney general.
No. From who?
He got permission to do things to Martin Luther King from a particular attorney general.
Oh, you're talking about what, Robert Kennedy?
That's what I'm talking about.
I don't know. Hey, he had stuff on all of them Kennedys. Okay.
Whatever.
They told him he could survey him and keep an eye on him or whatnot. They did it out of fear. But them Kennedys, they were womanizers too, you know what I mean?
Okay,
go ahead. But anyway, so the very thing they're saying now, that I hear them demonizing Reverend Jackson, Reverend Jackson was a legend by a lot of black folks. He got him off the boat when he ran for president in the 80s. I was a registered Democrat at that time. And black people, my people, they found out what were not coming up to me, so young and old. I want to vote for Jesse Jackson. I registered him. And Jesse Jackson did a lot of things. He was a disciple of Martin Luther King. He was there in Tennessee when Dr. King was assassinated. He went overseas and brought some of our white soldiers back that had got trapped over there in Iran.
There's no doubt.
Now today, he's every time something comes up, oh, that Reverend Jackson.
You know why?
No, because they don't know any damn better.
No, that's not it.
Here's the thing with some of our black folks.
Guess what, my brother?
What?
I can't stand him. And you know why? Because he's an opportunist. He doesn't help the people.
Jeff,
he helps himself.
They said the same thing about Martin Luther King.
No, okay. They didn't. They hated Martin Luther King.
I was there. You wasn't there.
I was there. I was alive. I was well at the time. You have to understand.
50 years ago, you might have been 5 or 10 years old 50 years ago.
Mm-hmm. That's very possible.
You don't want to give your age, but you should be proud of it. You don't look your age. You're a good-looking dude, man.
You're a good-looking
African-American.
You're the one that don't look your age. You are the one that don't look your age. You look like you my age.
You know, people tell me that all the time, Jeff, and thank you for the compliment. But as of December the 7th this year, I'll be 85 years young.
And unbelievably.
Well, I have been complimented over the years. I still got that smooth skin. And
You do.
And them baby blue eyes. I'm the black guy. Hey,
hold on, I'm going to let you finish because we're almost done. Go ahead, Sal. Ask the question.
Mr. Cocko, tell me something. Sir. I mean, you had three black kids. A white kid on the bus, okay? My
three
question
white
is,
kids on the
why,
bus.
No. Three black kids beat up a white kid on the bus down there in Georgia. Why has not Al Sharpton or Jesse Jackson or any of the leaders go down there and say anything about this?
They can't be every damn where, man. All them murders up in Chicago.
No.
They can't be
everywhere. They're not in Chicago either.
And Jesse's from Chicago.
And he's from there. But I heard this other clown from Chicago. They just murdered somebody here last week. Ain't nothing the president of the United States can do. His wife went to the funeral of one of the young ladies. That's the same thing as the police chief, Youngstown. We can't stop all these murders here. Yeah, we have a pretty good police force. They can only come after.
What I'm saying is, they went and they stood and they watched and they wanted to protest when Trayvon Martin got beat up, got killed.
Murdered.
And
these
other kids, they don't treat a hate crime of a black person against a white person the same as they do. When they're doing a white person against a white
South
person.
South Carolina, this is Michigan. You ain't got to worry about them handling that business because the white culture will handle that. So don't worry about the crime committed against whites. Whites will take care of that.
Yeah, you said a mouthful.
That's showing up the truth. But I'm gonna tell you like this: I don't care that they didn't speak out against the guy getting beat up on the bus because that was not a racial matter anyway. But that was a matter of that boy having told on them for doing something wrong, and they're going to court today. They're going before the judge today, and they're going to be punished. But I'm telling you, you had your facts incorrectly. I know black people in Youngstown, not my people. In fact, all of my relatives supported Martin Luther King, but a lot of people would tell my father and others, man, he's just a troublemaker. He's causing all this unrest. These white folks will kill us up in here.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're gonna talk about this again. I want you to call me Friday.
Yeah, I tried to call in earlier, Jeff, but I just caught part of your show.
That's
so
okay, my friend.
Thanks for letting me say what I had to say.
I'll give you more time next time. I just didn't want nobody to think that what I read was not facts because those were historical facts. But anyway, afternoon with Tracy and friends. Callers, we love you. We'll see you later. Tracy will be here tomorrow talking to you about what's on your mind, and we love you. God bless, and we'll see you later if I can get back to the right things here. Oh, man.